Amen. Is that maybe a little loud? Can we give it up for the dance team and the kids? I think Mr. Matthew left this, or he's down somewhere, or maybe they're already gone. Is Kathy still here? They might have gotten on the road. They stayed just for that moment right there, and I think that's one of the best moments of last week and one of the best moments of this week. It's just to see the glory of the Lord in Matthew, you know, declaring that God is King. I want to thank everybody for the skit last week, Susie and them for putting that together. That was just a blessing. I came a hair of just asking them to do that again this week, and I should have, but it was really just a blessing, and so thanks for everybody doing that. I also want to rejoice with that. I don't know if you guys were a part of maybe the Facebook or maybe some Facebook Live shots of Virginia Tech basketball game last week when Tulio O'Reilly won a car. Can we rejoice that? Oh man, that was a blessing. We were in force at the Virginia Tech game, praying and believing that his name would be picked, and it was. Out of 77,000 names. This man got picked. So we just want to thank God again, you know, for the blessing of, we can rejoice. So we've been on this, I think it's good. We've been on this talking about making room for the King, right? You know, I was thinking about where that phrase came from. I wasn't in on the original planning, so I'm not sure exactly where that came from, but one of the things I think it came from was this Luke passage, Luke 2 passage. Does everybody have a handout?
No.
No? Can, hey, Dave, do you have, or Pat, can y'all get some handouts? I just did a quick handout. I was actually almost not. Oh, they are on the copier?
Maybe.
Nobody did them? Maybe they haven't been cut yet. And we'll get those to you. I'm going to read a scripture that's on that little sheet. This scripture in Luke 2:7 says, "And she, Mary, gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." And so I don't know if it had anything to do about the make room, but you know, as I thought about that, you know, there was this whole city of Bethlehem that was embracing a king, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, and they had no room for him in the inn. Now, I always, I think everybody needs one, right? Does everybody need one?
Yeah.
Okay, you can just start passing them from the front to the back. We didn't get those out this morning early. So, as they're passing those, I always have these weird, I don't have a big imagination. I don't feel like I'm crazy gifted in that area. Everybody talks about dreams and seeing visions and all that. I don't really see that. I see these conversations between God and people that walk the earth. And so I had this little thought about this conversation that Jesus had with that innkeeper. We'll name him George after George. And so, I don't know, George. Is that good? So George the innkeeper goes before the Lord, and he's kind of shying away. He's kind of like coming up to the Lord going, "Yeah, I know. I kind of blew that." He's like, you know, it's kind of like I was thinking about Jesus, you know, in that place, you know, he was thinking about that conversation. You know, Jesus is like, hey, you remember, George? Do you remember the time that, you know, we kind of strolled on into Bethlehem? Mary was great with child. She actually looked like she was in labor. And you know that time? Yeah, you remember that time, George? Yeah, you remember that time that, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was, you know, I was in her womb? You remember that time? You remember that time that you said there was no room in the inn? And, you know, I can just see him going, "It's okay. It's all right." Because it was destiny. It was as a place that, you know, I needed to be where I was at. But I can always think, of these conversations that God has with all these little people in the Bible. And I was just kind of chuckle because, you know, it kind of reminds me of things that in our own life, you know, when you know, God comes knocking to the door of our heart, or the door of our busy lives, or the door of, you know, our families, or things that are going on in our personal life. And he's knocking on the door, and maybe we kind of put the no vacancy sign up and said, nah, there's not really room for that. And I really want you to think this morning, as we're, especially if we're going into the new year. Rick talked several weeks ago about the first. If you didn't get that, I encourage you to go listen to it. It's a really good message. It really was kind of preparing us for the new year. Daniel will come back to that in the new year as well. But it's, you know, this place of giving Jesus first place, making room for what seems to be a society that, like, really pushes us to be incredibly busy, to be incredibly going, and really not making room for the very things that we actually need, you know. Does anybody else need a handout? All right. We got most everybody. All right. I was also thinking about this scripture that I came across in 2 Corinthians 7. I put verse 2 on there, but this is Paul, and he says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit. You know, get rid of some stuff. Get rid of the things that are in your way. And it says, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And then he makes this statement, make room for us in your hearts. Paul was saying there's a place we're even going to come to next, this upcoming year, about communion and connectivity and people in your life. I think a lot of times we don't make room for connections in our life that are we desperately need, but sometimes it's very hard to get to. And there's a lot of times we're just going to have to make room, right? We're going to have to physically, like, stick some stuff aside so that we can actually make room for those times and those places, those divine appointments with people. But it says, make room for us in your hearts. And it goes on and says, I don't speak to condemn you, for I've said before that you are in our hearts to die together and to live together. That was how serious that statement was for Paul. He says, I'll die together and I'll live together with people in my life that are going to empower life and life abundantly into my life. And so, you know, think about those two scriptures in relationship to that. Now, we're going to, you know, think about that make room word right there in the Greek. You know, obviously, I like to go, I've been trained well. I like to go look up different, you know, when you get make room, you start thinking, well, what does that even really mean? And the definition is there is to leave space which may be filled or occupied by another. To leave space, that which may be filled or occupied to another, to make room, to give place, to yield, to have space or room for receiving or holding something. And I do get, for my own life especially, I get worried that I'm not leaving space to be able to hold something, to receive something. We talked about that earlier in the year. You know, it's really important to receive, to respond, to lay aside, and to, why did I just forget the fourth? Practice, right? Right, so there's a place that I got to have room to be able to respond and receive and respond in my life. And I'm afraid that some of us, I've just realized this past week, I'm like, I don't have much grace to respond. I don't even have much, like, I feel like I'm like up to here with stuff. So I have this much space to respond, and God's saying, make room. You know, make room for your life to be able to respond. So, you know, I think that's why we minister to the heart so much. Is because we need space as people in our hearts to be able to respond to the King, to respond to Him. I feel like I'm responding to so many things, whether it's, you know, emergencies or just things in my own life, my own heart, and I'm like, man, I want room to respond. And so we're going to watch a little video. This is really cool. I probably have heard this song, but I don't feel like I had before I listened to it. But as I was preparing, I found this song called Make Room. Make room. We're going to watch it in relationship to the nativity story, but because we're going to talk over here in a second about the manger scene. And we're just going to get a glimpse of what it took those people to come to that place. Where did they make room in their heart and life? And so let's play this and listen to this song.
Family hiding from the storm found a
So making room in your heart for him to write his story. You know, I was thinking about that, you know, just thinking, sitting there, I was thinking, what are the chances of that happening right there? Now, again, I understand most of you who are Bible scholars, this isn't exactly the way it happened, but we're not going to tell everybody that to everybody, okay? Just let everybody feel like that's the way it happened. Some wise men didn't quite get there exactly at that maybe time, but that's okay. We're just for the story's sake. The chances and possibilities of that happening right there. You know, Mary, Joseph, shepherds, the wise men, all coming to the place. The wise men did come to the place where he was born. Like, what are the chances of that? They're just astronomical. Like, there's no way. But the reality is that, you know, will we make room in our hearts for him to write his story? Like, write his story into our lives, into our hearts. Because I'm sure that, you know, maybe the months and months before that, the wise men didn't quite know exactly where they were going or what they were doing. But, you know, the Joseph and Mary, you know, 9 months before that, you know, had no clue that what was going to be going on, you know, 10 months from now. You know, but God was writing a story. And so I was thinking about that, you know, in relationship to, you know, the reality that, you know, the whole world, you know, we just sang about it, you know, joy to the world, the Lord has come, let earth receive her king, let every heart, what? I was about to say, wait a second, y'all sung that, haven't you? Y'all know that one, right? Let every heart what? Prepare him room, right? It's funny that all across the world and the nation especially, that they sing that all day long and probably don't know 100% of what they're really asking or what they're really singing. But I hope we do. I hope we do as believers, prepare him room. And that's what we're going to be talking about. Just for a few minutes, I just really want to recount the Christmas story in relationship to these characters that were at the scene. I was thinking about it. Any of you guys, any of you guys have one of these at home? Yep. Anybody? Yep. How many grew up doing one of these right here? Really? Man, I thought everybody did these. I was hoping mom and dad. Was ours felt? I thought it was, yeah, we had the felt board. This is a little bit, you know. I never knew you could have as many fights as we did, you know, at this thing, because the problem was is that if someone got up earlier than you and they got to the thing first, you know, there was an assignment for each of these to go up on the into the manger scene. And, of course, every once in a while, somebody would put the wrong one up. And, of course, you had to take it back down, put it down, and then put it up yourself, right? And then you also had to start, you had to get a little bit, you know, you had to figure out if there's three brothers, you know, who got the last one. You had to figure out you wanted to back up and make sure you started on the right day so you could put Jesus up, right? That was the most important one. You know, but I think about, you know, how we've lived, you know, with these stories all our life, right? And sometimes they can kind of get, you know, something that we kind of walk past and don't really think about all the time. But I really want you to think this morning, where in the world, yeah, so funny right here. Yeah, this one even adds a little drummer boy. He gets a little nod in this one. I don't think he was in the original manger scene in Luke or Matthew. I couldn't find him. But he made it in there. He made it in this one. But you think about, go on to that next one. So, you know, you think about these characters here. You know, I think about Mary. You know, the first one we just talked about is Mary. You know, we're going to read through some of the Luke passage in one. Go on to that next phrase. Now I'm just going to read some. And I want you to see on your little handout, I didn't do it for all of them because it was going to make the sheet really long and y'all would have been like, man, Mitch is going to teach forever. And so I really put it for all of them. I want you to really begin to realize almost through every one of these scenarios and passages of Scripture that include Mary and Joseph and the wise men and the shepherds, almost all of them have something to do with exchanging fear for courage. you know, thinking about, you know, they had to make room in their heart for the word to come alive in them. They had to make room for the heart in their heart for God to fulfill his destiny through them. I mean, who would have imagined all of those characters in that scene? And it would also making room in their heart for the impossible to become possible. Yeah. Every one of these, you know, phrases, you know, I mean, each one of these scriptures talks about that. And so let's read through some of these. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." That's what you need to hear right off the bat, right? When you know that you're going to be birthing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you need to know that you're favored and that the God is with you, right? But that's no different than what we have within us, right? I hope that you all know that you're carrying Jesus, right? Yeah. I hope you know that you're no different than Mary. I mean, she might have done it in the physical, so I do. You know, for all the women in here, yes, there was a reality to that. But you are carrying Jesus within you. You know, the word, what? Made flesh, right? But she was very perplexed. That's an understatement at this statement, and kept wondering what kind of greeting that was. The angel said to her, what? Do not be afraid. You know, courage isn't the absence of fear, right? I've heard several people say over the years, courage isn't the absence of fear. It's just, in this instance, it's not making room for the fear. Making room for courage. Making room for God with us to be with you. That's what it is. A lot of times we're just trying to minus out a lot of fear. Obviously, the perfect love casts out all fear, so that's a good way to minus out some fear. But it's more of, I have more room in my heart for God and the courage of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that he is with me, than the fear that I'm facing. Because I'm sure Mary was facing some things that she's going to have to speak to and declare into and press through, obviously. And it says, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High God. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Man, that's money right there, right? As they say, I mean, that's the word of God becoming flesh, right? Their kingdom will have no end. Like, Jesus is the fulfillment of that word. And you think about... So Mary says to the angel, obviously, how can this be? Okay, you just said I'm going to carry a son. I've never been with anybody, so therefore, how can this be since I'm a virgin? The angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Impossible becoming what? Possible. There's no way that happens. No way that happens without the Lord, right? And also the fact that destiny was upon her, right? She was chosen, you know, to carry the word made flesh. And so there's this reality that each one of those things Mary went through. And I love it. She says, and for this reason, the holy child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has conceived a son in her old age. And she has called it, she who was called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary gives the response of responses. Man, I wish I could just get this down. Like, why can't I just say this every time? Like, why can't I just submit to that? God, Mary said, behold, the bondslave of the Lord. And remember what a bondslave was? Bondslave was somebody that was a slave, got released, and then chose to be back under him. So it wasn't a decision. I feel like it was almost a decision Mary could have made or could have not have made, you know. But she said, behold your bondservant. I'm back. I'm submitting to what you have in my life. And she said, let it be done according to what? Your word. Let it be done according to your word. I don't know how it's going to be done. I don't know what that's going to look like. That's 9 months of probably craziness, but let it be done according to your word. So Mary and the angel departed from her. So that just that reality that Mary had to make room. She had to make room for the reality of something, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords coming and living within her. That's something that we also get to do as well, right? That we make room for the King of Kings. I hope if you haven't ever done that in your life, if this day you know that Jesus doesn't have residence in you, within you, as Lord and Savior, man, this is a great season, a great opportunity to say, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. You know, I want you to come and I want to see you dwell within me. And so I just encourage you in that. So that was Mary. You think about the next one. You know, you think about Joseph. You know, here Joseph is found in Matthew 1. Let's just read through that one. It says Matthew 1 is 18 through 25. I have the words up here if you want to follow along. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child. So, you know, back in that day, you know, when they got engaged, that was, you're pretty much married. You just aren't married yet. Like, it is marriage, but it isn't. It's like you haven't fully consummated the marriage, but it is. Like, that was way more serious than our engagement. Our engagement is kind of a, you know, it can be, not be. But for them, it was, we're getting married. You know, we're not living together, we're getting married. So, you know, you can think about Joseph, the reality of him, you know, saving himself for Mary and Mary saving herself for him. And then all of a sudden, him finding that she's pregnant. What do you do with that? As a man of integrity and honor, you know, as a man of, you know, because back in that day, you know, I don't always understand. Whoa, that was my phone. I don't always understand all the ins and outs of, you know, the Jewish things that they did. But one of the realities is that you could be stoned for, you could be, you know, exonerated, or what's the word? Put out, excommunicated. Those type of things were done if that happened. So, yeah. I mean, she was faith. It wasn't kind of this nice little, neat little thing that kind of went on. Like, you know, Jesus came, she was carrying a baby. No, this was like, you know, she went and visited Elizabeth, and now she's got to come back bearing a child. Like, that wasn't, what are you going to say? You're going to go down the street and say, hey, Jesus is here. Right? What are you going to do? You know, but they had to stand. And Joseph, really, think about this as we go on. It says, and Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her. I mean, he realized this is going to be a disgrace, you know, to her. Planned to send her secretly away. He was trying to do a good thing. I mean, he wasn't trying to do a bad thing. He was just trying to do a good thing. He knew what it would bring upon her, knowing that, obviously, they had not been together. So, obviously, the Lord knows how to intervene really well. But when he considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child who has been conceived of her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. And behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and then they shall call his name what? Jesus. Emmanuel. Destiny, right? He had to make room in his heart that there was a bigger destiny than his immediate response to, I don't understand. I don't know what's going on. You know, there had to be a fulfillment of the word of God. All of a sudden, the fulfillment of the ages. A prophet speaks it years and years and years and years and years and years before, and all of a sudden, bam, you're it. You ever thought about that? Maybe you're it. Maybe you are the response of a prophetic word God spoke thousands of years ago. Could it be? Man, I think it can. possible becoming what? Impossible, right? So there's this reality. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. I love that. That's my favorite. So that's my favorite name of the whole out of all his names. It's just my favorite name, Emmanuel. God with us. You know, that's the only thing he sometimes gives us. I mean, you go look at Moses, you look at Abraham, you look at all those guys. Most of the time, Jesus would just say, I'm with you, Emmanuel. That's all, I mean, because me with you is bigger than anything I could try to orchestrate for you, all right? Me with you is going to get you through seasons of craziness, like Joe was talking about last week. You know, sometimes we come into these nice Christmas seasons all nice and neat, and sometimes you come into these seasons pretty heavy. But God with you. God with you. You know, you think about Brandon and Miranda's testimony a couple weeks ago. And if you did not see that, please go back on YouTube. And we have it on YouTube, I assume, right, Steve? Please go back and listen. I mean, it's such a powerful. I wish we had another hour. I think they could have shared more just of the testimony of in and out of seasons of life. But the one consistent one was God with them. God was with them when Brandon was in prison to when he was handing them plenty of presents as a dad, you know, as a dad he wanted to be. And so, and for Miranda, when she's there, having a child by herself all the way up until having her husband back and then doing Christmas together. All through that, you interweave. Everything interweaved in there is God with us. You know, and that's why he came and declared that in this season. And so, obviously, Joseph awoke from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded, took Mary as his wife, and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and they named him Jesus, right? So that was Joseph, had to go through the same thing. I was going to do our little friend, the drummer boy. He didn't really fit too much into it, so I kind of left him out. Other than the fact that the drummer boy, I was really thinking about, you know, that would be one thing that Ron Bernard would put in the manger scene if he could. He would put the drummer boy as a real-life person in there if he wrote the story. I always loved many years of his drummer boy stuff, but the reality of the drummer boy, he's like, he didn't have any gifts to bring, right? It was funny. Everybody watched that old claymation? I think it was done in the 40s or 50s. I can't remember when it was, 60s maybe it was. I was watching that the other day, just watching some of this stuff, and it was just funny. But the reality is that, you know, he didn't have anything to bring to the king. So what did he do? The only thing that he had was what? The drum. I was thinking about, you know, the lady with the alabaster box. You remember that lady? You know, she didn't have much. She was a sinner. She actually came. They didn't even really want her in there. But she came and got before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and she offered, just like the kings, the three kings, they gave her gold, frankincense, and myrrh, right? But the alabaster box, the lady came and gave what she had, right? And it makes a statement in there. She came, she did what she could. She did what she could. You know, and so sometime in this season, you might not think that you have a lot. Or maybe there's, but you have a lot. Right? Can I speak that into you? You have a lot. You have a lot. You have some drums in your life. You have some things that you can play for the king before people. And so I just want to encourage you. Look for the drum this season. Look for the time when you're supposed to be playing that drum for the king. And I just encourage you. That really felt strong to really impress that into you. All right, so let's just go to the shepherds. Think about this. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Can I give you a little bit of history? You know, shepherds back in the day was kind of somewhat of the lowly of the lowlies, right? They didn't really have much. They were kind of destitute. They were kind of the last job you wanted to do, sit out bunch of sheep. That's kind of boring to me. Sounds like it's kind of boring to me. But the reality is that, you know, it was the lowly of lowlies, maybe in that day. And so I'm always so thankful that Jesus did stuff like that. Like the very first people that he expressed himself to with some shepherds. And then it was to some really rich people that didn't even know him. And they came and gave. So we'll talk about them in a second. But in the same region, there were shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were greatly frightened. But the angel said to them, what? Take up some courage, right? Let the courage, make room in your heart for courage. Because you'll need some courage right now because you're about ready to go meet the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It says, do not be afraid. But before I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for what? All the people. That's one of my favorite declarations of the Bible. Great news. Good tidings, great news for what? All the people. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. Glory to God in the highest and on earth. Peace among men with whom he is pleased. It's an interesting statement as he's coming. You know, if you understand the reality of the world, maybe that we live in and the reality of the world that they lived in. I'm not always so sure that I would be saying that God would be so pleased, but I love it. He's like, he sees so much in faith. He says, glory to God in the highest on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. Receive that this morning. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told about this child. And all who have heard it wondered at the things which they were told by the shepherds. But Mary treasured, I love that word, she treasured this in her heart. She pondered these things. And that word treasured is really a word that means that you're preserving a thing from perishing, from being lost. Like, she's like, man, I'm not going to let this go. And there's some things in our life we got to get back into the treasury department. Like, I need to begin to get those things back into me to treasure, right? To see God fulfilled. You know, maybe there's things in us and among us that God really wants to bring forth, and God wants us to treasure his heart, his word. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God and all they heard and all they had seen, just as they had been told. So again, what? They had to, the impossible becomes what? Possible, right? A king is born, what? To somebody that as a virgin, how does all that work? It's impossible become impossible. You know, they had to throw off fear and take up courage. You know, they had to receive the word of God that there was destiny, that they're supposed to be at the manger. They're supposed to be the one that ushers in the King of Kings. The wise men really didn't make it there. They were the ones, the lowly of lowlies, were the ones that are going to usher in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in the lowliest of places in a manger. Because why? There was no room in the inn. It all ties back to that, right? But there's a reality that these shepherds, really, they had to throw off insignificance. They had to throw off, I love that scene. If you get a chance, go back and watch the scene with the words. You know, when that shepherd drops at Mary and Joseph's feet, and he's like, man, am I worthy? And then she says, he's for all the people, man. It's like, just get a little cloth, a tissue, because, I mean, yes, it's for you. It's for you, for all the people. No matter where you've been, what you've done, how you've done it, he's for all the people. And I just encourage you that. The last one, you think about these wise men that came. I did want to say something about the shepherds real quick. You know, what was their response when they, anybody remember what that response was? They hurried, like they ran. Like I just pray that the Lord will give us some energy to run this season, the energy to say, yeah, God, I'm there. You know, I don't know, it just felt like the Lord wanted to highlight that too, but how did they make room? They ran. They ran to him, made room in their life. I was thinking about the wise men, this is out of Matthew 2. Yeah, I hope I don't ruin the manger scene for anybody. I always kind of say that. We used to take these youth, when I used to do the youth, we'd do these Christmas quizzes every year that they would fail. I mean, literally, you'd take these Christmas quizzes because The problem is that society and, you know, everybody puts up what it really looks like. Like, hey, was there three wise men? Yes or no? Hey, man, y'all are mostly, yeah, y'all are a biblical scholar. Good job. Most of the people, hey, probably, you know, you kind of get the youth in there. If you're not thinking real quick, you can just say yes, right? Well, the Bible never really says it was three. It was just three, frankincense, gold, and myrrh, right? So we assume there's three, but there it doesn't say that. Just like, you know, they arrived at the manger scene. Eh, no, probably not. But there's a reality that, you know, it was funny because I would give them these Christmas quizzes and they would fail utterly usually. And they'd all be like, Mitch, I can't believe it. You know, so it was just funny. But you think about these wise men. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw a star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests, the scribes, the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, in Bethlehem, it's so funny that these wise men from somewhere else knew more about where Jesus was than even Herod. You know, all these people, you know, that there was prophecies about this king coming. But they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet. They knew that. It's kind of interesting. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. You know, these wise men knew something was going to happen in Bethlehem at some point in time. And so Herod secretly called the Magi, determined from where the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me so that I may too come and worship / kill him." You know, right? We will, after we worship, we will kill him, right? That's what he was really saying. And hearing the king, they went their way, and the star they have seen the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. I'm not sure how a star stands, but that's what happened. It stood right above the place, you know. And coming into the house, they saw the child, his mother Mary, and they fell to the ground, worshipped him. They opened their treasure. They presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left by their own country another way. So you think about that. I mean, and they say in relationship to the east. So the east is probably, I don't know, months and months away, time-wise. Miles and miles away. I was trying to remember if it was like 300-400 miles to different places in, that they think that they could have come from. I mean, so you're thinking, I mean, this is not, I'm thinking everybody would have thought they were crazy. Like, what are you doing? We're following a star. Oh, what are you following a star for? Because it just appeared and we just got our caravan up and we just started kind of going that way, that direction, right? I mean, so there's a reality that, I mean, there was this facet of them that they had to really take on some faith that they didn't even know what faith was, probably, but they had to take on faith that there was something at the end of that star, right? There was something that God had for them. And the good thing is that they made room to present. They had made room for him, just like the lady with the alabaster jar, whatever they had. Now, they had stuff. I mean, they were probably rich. They were probably had all sorts of stuff. So the gold, the frankincense, and myrrh, I love Joseph and Mary's reaction there. Like, the gold gets set down there like, what? you know, the reality of they had plenty to give, but they gave. They were prepared. They had made him room, right? They had made room in his heart to prepare gifts, the things that they had possession of. What they had, they gave. And so there's a reality to that God wants us to get in this position, to just be in a position to give of what we have. And so you think about all those people coming to that manger scene, had to have been pretty, like, crazy remarkable. I mean, that's just the reality. I mean, you couldn't have put that all together. But it happened. And so I think about, well, there was somebody else at the manger scene, wasn't there? I hope. Right? A little baby boy? Oh, no, the drummer boy was not there. We can pretend he was, but No, there was somebody else at the scene. His name was Jesus, right? And I think he's the ultimate of ultimates of the reality of how to make room in your heart, right? Jesus did that. You think about these scriptures in Hebrews 12, 2 and 3. I just think about what George was talking about earlier, you know. The Word became what? Flesh and dwelt among us, right? And what did he do while he was among us? What did he do? Watch this. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He made room, right? He made room in his heart for each of us to say, you're worth it. Like, you're so worth dying for. Like, he made room in his heart to say, nah, I don't care what you've done, where you've been, how you've gotten here. He said, you're worth it. He made room in his heart. And he says, for the joy set before, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author, perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, he despised the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you would not grow weary and lose heart. He made room in his heart to get what? The ultimate. You know, the ultimate taking our sin upon himself, taking the hostility of sinners upon himself, the payment of our sin, he took on himself. So he made room for that. And that's a costly place, right? Nobody else in the face of this world has ever done that for you, right? You know, I might have given some of my life for my wife, but there's a reality that Jesus gave it all. Like, I might have given some of my life up for one of you or here and there, but Jesus gave it all. Like, he gave his life. You think about making room. Think about Isaiah 53. Surely our griefs he what? Bore. Our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted, but he was pierced through for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastising for our well-being fell upon him. By his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of all of us to fall on him. He made room. He made a lot of room. He made a lot of room for that to happen. I think about, you know, we're going to go into a time of communion and just really celebrate that there was one more reality, that Jesus was at the manger scene. And he declared something even bigger. I love that phrase in that song, you know, Mary holding him tight and all things will be made right, you know, because he redeems and he restores in that. But I love this place, this Luke 23, when they came to the place called the skull, they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right, one on the left side. But Jesus was saying what? Father, I make room. I forgive them. Why? Because they didn't know exactly what they were doing. They didn't know what they were doing. So he made room in his heart even to forgive somebody even before they even did the sin. He also forgave people that were sinning against him right then, that was crucifying the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. That, you know, as much as we want to get on the innkeeper for not making room, what about the rest of them? You know? They didn't make room, and Jesus ended up on a cross. Why? For us. And that's the pure joy, the joy set before him, he endured. And that's the cool part, is that we get to celebrate not only a birth, but the reality of what that birth represents in this season and time. And I just encourage you to make room. I have to get the whole story. I wanted to bring the whole story in. Why? Because I have to have not only the joy and blessing of the birth, but the joy and blessing of the cross. He represents both. And he gave us both. And so I'm going to ask Tulio had asked some people to come and help serve. You're going to stay where you're at. We're going to pass some bread and some juice through. If you today you don't know the Lord, or if you don't feel comfortable taking communion, feel free. Nobody's looking around. You don't have to take communion. It's not required. It is a benefit of knowing Jesus as Lord of our lives. We get to enter into communion with him and enjoy communion with one another. And so you know, as y'all can go ahead and start passing. Actually, if as y'all are doing it, if one person will pass both going the same direction, it actually helps. And then the other person can get on the other side and kind of keep passing it on the other side. I'm going to have Leah, she's going to come and share a few thoughts on this to kind of follow up what we had talked about in relationship to Jesus and the cross.
Okay, this is awesome. There are just a couple words I kept on hearing, and one was draw near. And I think that Jesus paid a price so that we could make room for him. And I just felt like the Lord was just really, he was just really calling us to receive like what he has done, like this gift that he's given us. Like it's a powerful gift. And I think sometimes we hold it, but because of maybe what we've done or what's been done to us or just the circumstances of the world, we can't even receive it. And so I felt like he just kept on saying, like, this passage of drawing near. And you see it all through Hebrews, because Jesus paid a price so that we could confidently come before him. Like, we come before him. I always say it's like the great equalizer. Like I come before him the same as my children come before him. It's his righteousness. Like he sees me through his righteousness, through his gift. And so I kept on hearing these scriptures about draw near. And I felt like that was just calling, he's calling us to draw near with confidence, because like in Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace and help in a time of need. So this place of drawing near, Hebrews 7:19, it says that he saved forever those who draw near to him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. And so just for each of us, but even those around us, that Jesus lives to make intercession for us. And Hebrews 10:20, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And I felt like he was just really calling us, have you received like what I've done? Like his blood, he has ripped the veil, and his blood is able to cleanse us from all sin, cleanse us from an evil conscience. And it even says from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And Psalm 103:12, I feel like he said, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. And Jesus paid a high price that the weight of sin, whether there's failure, whether there's condemnation, God, he died that we would not bear any weight of sin. That through him, he gives us forgiveness, and that our transgression is gone. And I just felt like that, just a call that he's given us the ability to make room. He is, through the blood, the sin, the things that some, I feel like there's just things that we hold on to, that he says it's as far as the east is from the west. There may be even some areas that you just can't, you haven't even asked forgiveness for. Like you haven't even drawn. He's saying, draw near to me. Get this off of you. I paid that you're not carrying, that you would not carry this. And I just felt like he's just calling us, this draw near with confidence. I died and I paid the price so that you could draw near with confidence. And so not only for here, but to come. And I just wanted to read this because I just felt like he just wanted to declare this, and then we'll take communion together. But Revelations 1, 4 through 8, and it's John says, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. And he made us to be a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. But I just really, as we together take communion, I just want to repeat that. To him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. And as we take this, that's what, like, gosh, like, he paid the price that I would not have to bear those things, the weight of sins, the weight of suffering, the weight of trauma, the weight of failure, those things he wants to take. And so I'm just going to take just a minute, and then we'll take these together. And I was going to read just 1 Corinthians, where Paul was bringing that into remembrance in terms of communion. But just going to take a moment of silence. Sometimes we don't like that, but just really to transact on that, because his compassion, he's just saying, draw near, because I desire you to be with me. So just anything that would come up, I just pray that you're able just to give that to him and receive his forgiveness that says, no, it's gone as far as the east is from the west. And it says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me. And Jesus, we just thank you. God, I just thank you for God, that we just can boldly and confidently run to you. God, we just thank you for just this gift for us. And Lord, I just pray, God, just a blessing. God, just a blessing over just each and every person here. God, I just pray, Jesus, the value and the worth that you have declared over each and every individual here. God, where you just speak and you declare and you paid a price, God, just to solidify our value. God, I just pray that over each and every person here, that they would receive, God, just the value that you declare over them in Jesus' name.
do, they have a song. Just want us to stand. We're just going to sing a few choruses of this. And just it's a response in relationship to communion. It's a response to the message of really making room. And so let's just sing this together as we kind of begin to close out the service.
Table is an altar. Every breath is a gift from you. Every moment is a treasure. Every day is a kiss from you. Every stranger has a story's being told by you, yeah. We're all children on a journey. Jesus, only you can lead us through. So let our hearts be awake, be awake, yeah. So let our hearts
team, the first responders, come on up. I just want to have some people here that will pray for you today. But my prayer is that your faith comes alive today, that your hearts are with His heart, and that you would be able to make room in this season, right? Not only in this season of Christmas, obviously that's a good theme for a good season, but really as we begin this year, that we could really go into it making room. Like, that's just our goal, our heart, the aim of our life is to make room for Him in this season, in this new season of life. And so that's my prayer this morning. If you haven't ever made Jesus Lord of your life, there's some awesome people that, like Nick or Ben, and these guys that will pray for you. If you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, I encourage you to come do that. Like, why not do that? Be able to celebrate Christmas every year because you've been reborn into the family of God. So I just want to pray that as we close. And if you need any prayer this morning for physical healing, for encouragement, for something going on in your life, we want you to have the opportunity to come and pray. But let me pray for us as we close out. Lord, we just thank you for this morning. God, we thank you that, God, you've given us free choice, free reign in our life. God, I know that sometimes maybe it would be easier if we were just all made to do the right thing or do this or that. But God, you've given us free reign to say, God, I want to make room in my heart for you. Lord, you didn't make us make room for you. You gave us the privilege and the opportunity. And Lord, I just pray for this season and for 2019, Lord God, that this would be a season of making room. Lord, making room for others into our lives, making room for you and your word into our life, making room for this place of not being so consumed with everything else going around, but Lord, being consumed with you. And so, Lord, I just pray that for us as individuals. I also pray that for us as a body. Lord, I'm just always intrigued by the power of the body of Christ to be able to come together in unity and say yes to making room for you. Making room for you in our services, making room for you in our prayer times and in our interactions with one another, God, in our small groups and wherever we're at, God, I pray that we would make room for you, to be the Holy Spirit in us, to be Emmanuel, God, with us. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. And I just pray that over each one as they go today, as they celebrate with families, as they celebrate with one another, as they celebrate just the season that we're in. I just pray that celebration is a declaration that, God, thank you that you came and dwelt among us, the Word made flesh, and you became Emmanuel, God, with us. And so, Lord, we thank you for that, and we bless you. In Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. Merry Christmas to you guys. If you need prayer this morning, these guys are up here. If you need to make Jesus Lord of your life, come. Don't leave this place. Sweet, sweet, sweet.